800-848-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
It's a bizarre story. A lawsuit has been proposed against Rush Limbaugh, the talk show host. Mr. Stephen Bozell joins us. Mr. Bozell, I understand that you're spearheading this attempted lawsuit against Mr. Limbaugh, and it has to do with not only that, but it has to do with a sexual harassment claim at your office. Tell us about this. Give us some background on yourself, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm a 38-year-old construction contractor in Corona, California. I have a wife and two children. And I did not seek this lawsuit, but it sort of has been pushed upon me. And
What prompted this, Mr. Bozell? Is it do you do amateur comedy writing as well?
Yes, I do. For the last 10 years, I've written comedy, and I've done a variety of amateur nights, and I have also done different open mic nights on the comedy clubs.
All right, and you wanted this to eventually lead into comedy full time?
Yes, sir.
Well, all right, tell us, you were writing a song that you wanted Mr. Limbaugh to play in his show.
I've honed my material down through the years, and I was working on a song about 3 weeks ago. In fact, the date I have was June 1st, and it's a song that I wrote that's based on the music of another popular song called The Leader of the Pack, and the song was called The Leader of Iraq. And I was working on this with a young Jewish boy who is a worker of mine, Jimmy Trilling, who works on one of our cement crews. Now, we recorded this song on a tape machine that Mr. Trilling brought to my home. I mailed it into Mr. Rush Limbaugh. Mr. Limbaugh plays these kinds of songs.
Now, you're talking about one of these comedy songs where they base it on another song. Do you have that there? You have it there?
I do, sir, yeah.
Can you play a little bit of it for us?
All right. I have it on a tape player in the car. You can hear it too.
Is that Saddam Hussein bringing you around?
It must be great riding. Okay, it sounds like Leader of the Pack.
That is correct, yes, sir.
By the way, where'd you meet him? I'm at him at morning prayer.
Okay, I get the idea. So this was, is that Mr. Trilling?
That's Jimmy Trilling who, so I wrote this song, and then...
Now, what's relevant, after you wrote this song, something happened the next day that you're blaming on Mr. Limbaugh, hence the lawsuit, correct?
Yes, sir. I was, the next day I went into my work as a construction contractor. I own a business, B&B Construction in Corona. I was very tired. I came into the office. I was a little bit disoriented because we had been up all night recording the song and honing it and finishing the writing on it. My secretary is a young lady that has worked for me since the high school let out here last week. She came in and she said do you want any coffee, Mr. Bozell?
Now, we can't mention her name because of this litigation. Is that right?
That is correct. But we can mention her first name.
All right.
So she said, can I get you anything, Mr. Bozell? I said, yes, thank you very much, Carrie. Can you grab me a cup of coffee? And it was at that instant that I did something that I always do with my wife, and it was not intended for her either. But I was, because I was tired, I reached over and I was completely absent-minded, and I do it with my wife.
What did you do?
I reached over and I put my hand up between her legs.
Oh boy, was she wearing pants or?
No, sir. She was wearing a loose sundress, and it was mortifying. It was embarrassing, and I told her that it was a mistake. And I said, I'm so tired. I thought, you know, you were April for a moment.
How old is the girl?
She's 18.
All right, Mr. Bozell, this young woman is saying that this was a sexual harassment situation.
That is correct, yes, sir. And my attorney, Dolores Blazingame of Riverside, has advised me she's now preparing a civil claim against Mr. Limbaugh.
So you're blaming Rush Limbaugh for you sexually harassing, and you didn't sexually harass her, you say...
It was a total mistake. I do it with my wife. I was very tired from having written the song for the Mr. Limbaugh show, and...
Okay, the lawsuit says that Limbaugh has infringed on your ability to make a living by not playing the humor song Leader of the Pack on his radio show, that being in complete disregard of, quote, how funny it is, but also the hard work that you put into it along with Jimmy Trilling. You're also saying because of the loss of sleep and the mistaken harassment of Ms., well, here's the last name here, that you are blaming him.
Yeah, well, his refusal to play this song because he don't want the competition. See, that's the thing you kind of have to understand. Mr. Limbaugh, I'm sure, don't want no competition. See? And I suffered in recording this song which caused me in a fatigued state to reach up for the girl's, you know, hoo-ha or whatever you want to call it. And
all right, this is your claim that you suffered humiliation and emotional distress.
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This man wrote a song for the Rush Limbaugh radio show, a comedy song based on the leader of the pack. It's called The Leader of Iraq. It was not played by Mr. Limbaugh. So he is saying that Mr. Limbaugh is keeping him from making a living on that level. On top of that, because it took him so long to write and record the song, he was tired, and the next day he grabbed his secretary in a inappropriate way. So the lawsuit basically is claiming that Limbaugh caused all of this by his not playing the song. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. And I would ask you, Mr. Bozell, Mr. Limbaugh probably gets millions of these tapes every day. You know what I'm saying? And
well, can we play it one more time?
So that, well, I think I've got the idea.
But you, the thing of it is, here it is now. See, the thing of it is, Phil, the song is based upon the leader of the pack, and it's about, you know, the leader of Iraq. If you'll hear it, sit.
I can hear it already, sir.
In that morning prayer, he basically dropped to his knees to get the picture.
We get the picture.
That's when I...
For the leader of Iraq. See, now...
All right, can you turn it down?
Okay, yes, sir. I'm sorry. It's very inventive. It's very funny. Mr. Limbauer will not play it because... And again, you have to understand how show business works. He's very jealous of probably how good it is. All right? So that's one part of it.
And the other part of it is you were up so late recording the song that you grabbed your secretary between her legs.
I touched her in an inappropriate way because I've been working so hard on this song that I wanted to play for Mr. Limbaugh, and the next day I was tired. Now, part of our suit that Dolores Blasingame is going to file in Superior Court alleges that I suffered humiliation and emotional distress because I had my family and my staff gathered to hear the song on the radio that Russ Limbaugh did not play. And on top of him not playing it, all the work I put into it made me tired, and I touched her. And that, I think, is a very groundbreaking rule because...
Well, why do you think it's groundbreaking? I mean, what you're telling me and what I'm hearing here is Rush Limbaugh is to blame for you writing a song that made you work so hard you were tired the next day and you touched your secretary inappropriately. How's he to blame for that?
Because the song... First of all, Mr. Head, you have to understand... The work that I put into that song in writing it and in recording it was such that it caused fatigue and that it was also good, and he didn't play it.
Well, I can understand how you might have a claim that he embarrassed you by not playing the song because your friends and family wanted to hear it. I don't see how he caused you to touch this girl inappropriately.
It's the result of me working so hard on the song. That's all I'm saying. And I think it's time we take these fat cats down. I mean, that's the whole point of this. I think it's time that, you know, Russ Limbaugh and all of these big fat cats get taken down. I just think it's time that the average American person sees what it's all about, that I work really hard, and I can't get my song played on the radio, but Russ Limbaugh gets to go on there every day and do anything he wants, and he can play his songs. And if Mr. Limbaugh had played the song, I would never have been had to ask my secretary for the cup of coffee because I would have been enjoying the song on the radio instead and not be tired.
All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is a guy who is filing a lawsuit against Rush Limbaugh because he didn't play his song, this song parody called Leader of the Pack. It's actually called Leader of Iraq. And on top of everything else, he is blaming his Limbaugh for making him work late. He touched his secretary inappropriately. There's a whole bunch of sexual harassment stuff tied up in this that we need to kind of have Mr. Bozell separate out for us, Janice. But I would say that the primary thing that he's talking about here is that Limbaugh didn't play his song and he's mad. And he says it was good enough to be played, and he says it's time we take down these big guys, the big shots. 1-800-449-8686. It's probably some guy that's well, kind of liberal and doesn't like Limbaugh's politics. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy.
All right, your song, Mr. Bozell, is called "The Leader of Iraq." It's a humorous song about Saddam Hussein, right?
Yeah, and the thing that makes the song different is that it's based on the music of another song, and that makes it kind of different.
Well, what do you mean, like it's a parody song?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've heard people...
Well, hold on. Weird Al Yankovic has done it, but that's about it. And I think what's sad is that Mr. Limbaugh don't know good comedy, especially when I worked hard and I worked over and over and over on it.
All right, now we're going to play this song called "The Leader of Iraq" that you wanted to have played on the Rush Limbaugh Show.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to listen to this because you claim it's very funny.
It's very... The thing that I think is more unique than anything about it is it's based on another song. You see, that was a hit, but I changed up the words on it.
Okay. Here is "The Leader of Iraq" that you're playing on a tape machine at home?
Yes, sir.
As played to the music of "The Leader of the Pack," which was by the Shangri-Las?
By the Shangri-Las in 1962.
Okay. Here it is.
Is she really going out with Saddam? Well, there she is. Let's ask her. So, Moira, is that
who
Saddam Hussein ring you're wearing?
That's Jimmy Trilling, who works on a cement crew with me.
F-57. So is he picking you up today after Kaddish? By the way, where'd you meet him? I met him at morning prayer. He faced the east, dropped to his knees. You get the picture? We get the picture. That's when I fell for the leader of Iraq. My mother said, you're dating Saddam Hussein? Oi, oi, oi.
That's Jew, or, I mean, that's Jewish talk and everything.
Yeah, I know.
She said, I won't let that big pot scrub ya. Then she called up her friend George W. to break up my dating the leader of Iraq. One day.
Okay, Mr. Bozell, I want to.
Well, I appreciate you play the whole song through.
I have to tell you, I understand the basic thrust of the song.
Well, no, but it's a very unique comedy technique to take a real funny song and make it political, and also base it on music that somebody else wrote about another thing. See.
Well, I've heard Al Yankovic do it, and I think I know what you're talking about.
Well, I think. You know, if I listened to 2 minutes of your show and said, I get it, I know what this is about, and turn it off, I think you'd be pretty much offended, so I'd appreciate if I could, you know, play the whole tune.
Look, let me just give our number out here, 1-800-449-8686. I think people are familiar with what I'm talking about. It's called parody songs?
Well, no, they're not, because I do political style, and Al Yankovic do, like, just about Michael Jackson.
But the point is, you made this song and you played it, you sent it to Rush Limbaugh and he didn't play it. And you think the reason why he didn't play it is it's too good?
I think so. And I think it's time that we point the finger at these guys like Limbaugh and say, you're controlling everything. In addition to that, I worked very hard on it, of course, and I told you.
And you grabbed your secretary by mistake because she, you know, you were tired.
Yes, sir.
Well, I think that of all the things you're claiming, Dolores Blazingame, your attorney's going to have a hard one with that. That you, the sexual harassment was caused by Rush Limbaugh.
Here's the song. It's great, isn't it? And I did that all night, the other night, and then I mailed it on into the Limbaugh Show.
And he didn't play it?
No.
We're going to ask the audience what they think of it. 1-800-449-8686. Got to get some honest opinion about that song and what they think, and should it be played, you know, on the Rush Limbaugh show. Although I don't know whether... Why did you send it to him? He doesn't really do a comedy show.
Well, he does do different kinds of songs that are, you know, like topically related and everything else. You know, he does songs that are
okay, that are about the news.
Yes, sir. And so I think that him not playing it simply says that he's afraid of somebody who's better than him.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
So are you going to ask people what they think of it?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, what else can I do? You come on here complaining about a guy not playing your song. I don't know what the hell you want people to say, other than...
Well, have them discuss why Limbaugh is being such a pig about it. I mean, have them...
Well, they don't care. I mean, you know, we're playing your song, and the only thing I can do is ask them what they think about it. This is not anything that anybody's going to call in about.
Well, why not?
What are they going to call in about? But your career as a comedy writer? Just, you know, I'll tell them, what do you think of the song, Leader of the Pack, or Leader of...
It's called Leader of Iraq, that is based on Leader of the Pack.
You know, I heard a song once called The Leader of the Laundromat. I mean, that was based on Leader of the Pack, too.
But that was Al Yankovic.
Well, I don't know if it was or not.
See, he's the only guy that's done it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's hear it again.
Out with Saddam? Well, there she is. Let's ask her. So, Moira, is that Saddam Hussein's ring you're wearing?
Uh-huh.
She must be great riding in a 757. So is he picking you up today after Kaddish? By the way, where'd you meet him?
I met him at morning prayer. He faced the east, dropped to his knees. You get the picture?
We get the picture.
That's when I fell for the leader of Iraq. My mother said you're dating Saddam Hussein, boy.
Jesus, I gotta tell you, Mr. Bozell.
Why couldn't you pick a nice
Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir.
Jesus, it is horrible.
I beg your pardon?
It stinks.
Okay, mister, you just let yourself in for a lawsuit.
No? What, are you gonna sue me too?
Yes, sir.
That song stinks. Do you understand what I mean by stinks? It's lame, it's derivative. It's a song parody, and you played it for the wrong guy, Phil Hendry. I hate that kind of crap. I hate it.
Well...
So why you called the wrong guy when you wanted somebody to, you know, when you wanted somebody to listen to your song parody, you called up the wrong guy, because I can't stand that crap, especially something like that.
Well, mister, you just asked for a piece of this lawsuit, didn't you?
What are you going to sue me for, man? Because I think your music sucks? What are you going to do? You're going to sue me? And you're suing Limbaugh because you grabbed your secretary's crotch?
Sir, I was tired.
Yeah, I know you were tired. I know that you were tired. You told me you were tired. You were tired and you mistook your secretary for your wife, who you regularly grab by the crotch when she's giving you coffee in the morning. Is that correct?
It is a playful thing we do, yeah.
Okay. And you're going to sue Rush Limbaugh for making you do that because you wrote this? How long did you work on this?
On what, sir?
How long did you work on this?
On the leader of Iraq?
Yeah.
Well, it took about 2 to 3 weeks to write it, and we laid it down over the course of 3 nights.
3 nights and 2 weeks to write it? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Good luck, pal.
All right, so in other words, you're going to not be in my lawsuit?
No, not unless you sue me. Turn that crap off.
No, I think I'll keep it playing.
Turn it off.
I want to hear it.
Turn the crap off! 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. 404-946-8686.
Coming up, Dr. Jeff Dowder, professor of mechanical physics at Caltech, to talk about the Matrix Reloaded, and is there even a remote possibility of computers taking a, let's say, a controlling role in the future over human beings? We'll talk with him in a few minutes about that. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. My thanks to Mr. Stephen Bozell for coming on and talking about suing Rush Limbaugh because Mr. Bozell grabbed his secretary in an inappropriate way. Anyway, we were very, very pleased yesterday to have on the air with us Demi Moore, the great actress, and here's just a few of those comments.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Demi Moore is on the line with us. Demi, thank you very much for joining us. And I know that there's a lot going on in your life, especially right now. Are you at the dentist right now? Demi, you there?
Yeah, Phil, I'm right here.
Okay, are you at the dentist?
Yeah, I am, Phil. I'm here to get my my teeth. I actually am getting a root canal. So,
yeah, right now?
I'm due in, but the doctor tells me I can do the interview. I got my cell phone.
Demi, we wanted to talk to you. You're one of, many people consider you to be one of the sexiest women. Are you really one of the sexiest women to ever grace the screen, or is that the image?
I think that that is what people have been told to believe, and so, and the, you know, I had the boob job, and the boob job was important for G.I. Jane. I just think that people think that I'm good looking, but I really don't know whether I am or not. Right now, I'm chasing a 25-year-old guy. And
tell us about your relationship with Ashton Kutcher. What is that about?
Really, what that's about is me trying to feel vital. Look, there's nothing wrong with a woman having sex with a young guy. I just happen to pick a young guy who's on a very popular show, so that's obviously very self-serving. And hold on for just a minute. Phil, the doctor's going to put some tubes in my mouth, all right?
Can you talk to me?
Yes, all right. So, the...
Do you want me to call later?
No, I'm fine. So, can I take the cotton out? Okay. So I picked a young guy, 25, who's on a hot show. So obviously I want to get my name back in the pages with a young man. It makes Bruce jealous. And it gets me hot again because I haven't been hot for a long time.
Why do you suppose that is? Are you a good actress?
I think I'm a moderately talented actress. I think I had some heat around that Brat Pack thing. I don't think I've ever done anything at all that was worthy of Oscar consideration. I thought I was pretty good in Disclosure, but apparently the Academy thought I wasn't. Fine, great. That's, you know. Okay, hold on for a minute. Oh, that's better.
Okay.
So, and the other thing, I want to thank Drew Barrymore, who basically pulled me right out of the bar. And she pulled, literally, Drew Barrymore pulled me off a bar stool and right into Charlie's Angels Full Throttle. So I got to thank her for that.
That's terrific.
And,
Ashton Kutcher, now why does this have to be?
The reason why I'm getting my teeth drilled, I want Ashton to know that I'm taking care of my teeth because he complained about my breath. And,
geez, that's the thing, you know, you're 41. I mean, I think you're an attractive woman.
Well, thank you.
What do you have to 25-year-old guy? So, I guess the sex is pretty good though with a younger guy.
Yeah, it is. And also, I'm not talented enough to find older guys who could actually, you know, haul my ashes. And I'm sorry, Phil, but the last 2 years, my ass is falling. And hold on for a minute.
You son of a bitch!
Oh, that's good.
So you're enjoying it, huh?
Just like like Bill Murray and Jack Nicholson. So that's what I'm doing, and Ashton Kutcher, interesting last name, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
Ashton Kutcher is just a great guy. So that's it, Phil. I'm bored with you now, and I'd like to hang up.
Why is that painful?
Why is it painful?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't use anesthetic.
Why not?
Because it keeps my breasts firm and high. What the hell is with you? Why not? I never use anesthetic when I get my teeth drilled because it keeps me young, firm, and...
Still 41.
Right. Man, that's good.
All right. Well, listen, Demi, thanks a lot. The best of luck in your life and times and your career with Charlie's Angels Full Throttle. Appearing in theaters right now, huh?
I wouldn't know.
All right, thank you. Demi Moore.
Uh-huh.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
We were very happy to catch up with Demi Moore. She was getting a root canal yesterday, and we're very grateful for her comments. 1-800-449-8686 to get into some of the news that is of particular interest to me. They captured that Max Factor scumbag. Andrew Lester, accused of raping I don't know how many women, was finally bagged down in Puerto Vallarta by a bounty hunter by the name of Dwayne Dog Chapman. And if you go to our website, we have linked Dwayne Dog Chapman's website on our website. Our website is philhenryshow.com. That's philhendrishow.com. And Dwayne Dog Chapman is pretty much the right out of Central Casting look of the modern bounty hunter. He has the Lynyrd Skynyrd mullet. He's got the whole very neatly trimmed goatee. He's wearing the muscle tee. He's got the big badge, the big shotgun, and go ahead and look at him cross-eyed, and you'll be wearing in your face for the rest of your life the butt end of a shotgun. I think that just about says it, don't you? You will not, he won't put it in your, you'll be wearing it. And he captured this guy, this Lester pile of garbage, down in a nightclub in Puerto Vallarta. You know, what's it like to be on the run? What goes through the mind of a guy that's running from the cops? Do you, I'd be looking over my shoulder every day. I'd be hiding out in garages and under garbage cans. I wouldn't be partying it up in a nightclub. What is it? A lot of people think that Mexico is, you know, the old song, "Hey Joe, I'm going down to Mexico to be free. I just shot my old lady." Well, I don't think it's like that anymore. I think the Mexican cops are only all too ready to hand your ass over. Never mind the fact that Dog Chapman is in jail himself because it's against the law in Mexico to be a bounty hunter. It's called kidnapping down there. Even though this man is in pursuit of a legitimate bounty placed on the head of Andrew Lester. And I don't know whether it was the county of Ventura that placed the Ventura County, California, that placed the reward, or whether it was a bail bondsman who hired Mr. Chapman, or exactly how it works. But the guy stands to make some dollars. And the other thing that makes Andrew Lester really brilliant is he chose a nightclub in a tourist town. So let me go into a nightclub, dance the night away, and let's make sure it's in a place where there's thousands of people with cameras. You have got to be thick beyond every record, every world record thick. Bounty hunter Dwayne Dog Chapman found Lester at a nightclub in a beach resort, according to Mr. Chapman's executive assistant, Beth Smith. Now, Lester and five other men were taken into custody. You know who the other guys were? They were a camera crew from America's Most Wanted. So the gendarme, the L.A., you know, the Southern California coppers, the federal cops, all these guys were way behind America's Most Wanted and Dwayne Dog Chapman. I guess if all you got to do is look for one guy, or, you know, five or six guys, maybe you can devote more of your energies than the cops can. Now, the bail was set at $1 million, and I assume he skipped. So that means, and he posted $100,000 of that. So he is owed, he owes $900,000. And $900,000 of that $900,000, I don't know how much Mr. Chapman would be getting, but significant enough for him to be chasing down into Mexico for this guy. And Chapman's office is in Honolulu. Not Maui, Honolulu. Which, by the way, is where Ted Bell is opening up his next steakhouse. Ted's at Beverly Hills, Honolulu. God, I dig that. We got to do a remote from Honolulu. Not Maui, not Kauai, not Molokai, not the Big Island, not Kona, not any of that. Hana freaking Lulu. Out on the beach, Waikiki, Diamond Head, you got it. With chicks in grass skirts, Don Ho at the keyboards, everything. Tiny bubbles in the rain. Anyway, how'd I get onto that? I'm talking about Dwayne Dog Chapman and some murder rapist, and I'm sitting there dreaming about Waikiki. What in the hell has happened to you, Henry? Now, three of the five were Chapman and his two sons, I should say, who were working with him, reported Lara Saravia of NBC News. The other two were a camera crew for the television show America's Most Wanted. All six men are in custody under Mexican law, as I mentioned, bounty hunters, yada, yada, yada. Authorities said Lester, who lived off of a trust fund and real estate investments, took three women to his home, and the home that he lives in is not far up the beach here from Los Angeles. In fact, go out of the little city of Ventura, heading towards Santa Barbara, and there's a strip of homes there along the beach. You know the ones I'm talking about? I don't know the name of that little community there, but it is a colony of homes along the beach after you leave Ventura and you're on your way up to Carpinteria in Santa Barbara. And it is one of those homes that Lester lived and took women to and assaulted them after giving them a date rape drug. He fled in January. He was sentenced in absentia to 124 years in prison. And some real brain surgeon, with a news organization asked, will this impact his sentence? I don't know. It'll add another 124 years. What do you think? Now, after a January 9th federal warrant was ordered for this guy, California bail forfeiture laws gave Chapman and anybody else 180 days to capture Lester to get 15% of the $1 million or $150,000. Chapman said, if I catch him one day after the 180-day limit, I don't get 1 cent. And he said it with a laugh. Well, is that over the 180? What's 30 into 106 months? 6 months. January, February, March, April, May, June. Ooh, just made it is right. Just made it by a couple of weeks. So that's a nice 150. That's a nice little piece of a wham. That's some nice bling bling just to walk around with crammed in your jock. What's wrong with that? 150K? What do you think his expenses were going from, hey, what's his expenses from Honolulu down to Puerto Vallarta? 10 G's tops? Got 140 grand he's sticking in the bank. Now he's got to give his sons a couple of that. So he'll walk out of there with, 80. Well, if it were my sons, I'd walk away with 130. Then I'd split the 10 between the two of them. All right, so anyway, go to our website, find out more about this guy. Now, because you know he's going to be the new romantic hero, and Chuck Norris is going to do his life. The guy looks a little like Chuck Norris. Or should I say Chuck Norris looks a lot like him. And they'll make an NBC. Hey, NBC, you know that coupling thing is such a bad idea, but I think I see a way for you guys to bail this season out. Do a movie about Dwayne Dog Chapman. Yeah, I know, everybody's talking about coupling. The only people talking about coupling are you guys. You're talking about coupling the way J.K. Rowling's talking about that Harry Potter book. By the way, Janice has a theory, and I think I agree with her. The Harry Potter books that were stolen, bull crap, she had them stolen. She had them stolen. And on top of that, the security guards at the bookstores, give me a break. This is all called, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't known, if you haven't been around, you young people gather around the radio, it's all called H-Y-P-E, and that stands for pool. That's what it's called, that's what sells the books. Now here's what my proposal is, for CBS or anybody else. Have me do a weekly action series, I'll star as Dwayne Dog Chapman. Only it'll be Dwayne Dog Chapman, the retired years, okay? My ass is falling, my gut's hanging out, I got the big long mullet, and I'm sitting there just playing with a .45. I'll tell you right now, son, all it takes a little bit of a squeeze, that's right. California, I never knew anybody that come from there, it was more than a pinch of crap. Dwayne Dog Chapman. Starring Phil Hendry. There's me just doing a line of coke off of a coffee table. Oh, sorry, excuse me. Wait, hey, dog, you know I'm kidding, because I never met you, man. I'm just, that's what I would be doing if I were you and I were retired. But you, good for you, man. You captured this scumbag. As far as I'm concerned, that puts you at top of the list of the, man of the year for 2003. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number. Don't forget Jeff Dowder on The Matrix, coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
This guy, Sam Woxall, getting back to the world of crime, the world of order, the world of law, the world of bounty hunters, and the, you know, just generally the fun world of the scofflaw. This guy, Sam Waxel, is the guy that's going to go away for, what is it, 9 years or something because of Imclone. And he's going to Eglin Air Force Base. He's going to go to a minimum security prison. And I got to hand it to my fine young associate producer, Chris Pelton, when I, sort of in a knee-jerk way, I said, oh, yeah, get a load of this guy. He's going to go to a really soft-ass prison. How come? And Chris says, because he's white-collar, because it's nonviolent. Well, what's that got to do with it? Well, because the nonviolent offenders are not as hard to, take care of as the violent offenders, so they'll put them in a less restrictive environment. Yeah? Well, how come the violent prisons are so much crappier than the nonviolent prisoners? And he says, well, because the violent prisoners really make their own lot. They make it a hellish place to live in. And then I said, how come they're mostly black over there? Well, he said, because blacks are inferior. So thanks a lot, Chris. You explained life. All right. No, actually, it was very nicely delineated. It's a, you know, those maximum security prisons are crap cans because the inmates essentially make them crap cans. Now, does that sound like a guy that doesn't know what it's all about? Like, I haven't seen the other side of life. Like, I've been looking through the eyes of a privileged young man. Does that sound like that to you? Well, you know something that may be surprising to hear, that I've spent a little bit, just a little itsy-bitsy time behind the old steel bars myself. Nothing heavy. Certainly not prison. Just jail. But it ain't exactly like I don't know how you can go nuts sitting in a, whatever the hell that is, 6x8. They close that door behind you and you suddenly realize you can't really go anywhere for the next at least 12 hours because they're not going to stand you in front of a judge until the next morning. And all of a sudden, it would be different if you were in your room. You know you can open the door and walk out. So you know you don't have to really go stir crazy. But to know that you may not go, you will not go anywhere, if you think about it long enough, you'd start to want to peel the skin off your arm. Just for something to do, for the fun, just start peeling the skin off your face. But I can understand the thinking. White-collar criminals are not violent criminals. They are not. They do not pose as much of a danger to the staff. So you can put them in an environment that is not as restrictive. Violent criminals are violent. They do pose a danger to the staff, and you do have to, you know, stick more guns on them. And if it is a more of a hostile environment, and if it's a more of a degraded environment, that's primarily because of the behavior of the inmates themselves. And a lot of those guys are nothing more than animals. I mean, they're nothing more than animals. So after Chris explained life to me like that, I said, good, way to go for you, Mr. Waxel. All right. I think, hey, you really ought to, where do you think they'll put Martha? Right, I think she ought to share the same bunk with Mr. Waxel. What do you think? You know where you're going, Martha? You're going to Oz, baby. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Jeff Dowder is a professor of mechanical physics at Caltech in Pasadena, California. He's on the line, on our newsmaker line. And Professor Dowder, recent reports of people having psychotic episodes and saying that the Matrix is controlling them because of this movie. You've written a book, actually it was a paper.
Yes, sir.
Called The Computer and Man, and it raises some interesting questions. Can you tell us what that has to do with the Matrix and this movie?
Well, the book's really not about the movie. The book is about the possibilities of computers. I think right now, let's take a look at where we live and what time of the time that we live in. I'm just looking at the news right now about rioting in Benton Harbor, Michigan. We've had the war in Iraq. We've had 9/11. We've had some fairly traumatic things happen over the last couple of years, and what I'm asking is this. I don't believe there's a Matrix. Of course I don't. And there's not one that is a massive computer overlay that we're unwittingly programmed by. But the question does beg, if, is there a possibility of some sort of enforced computer programming of humans in the future at a point when man no longer has control? So I want to make it absolutely clear. I don't believe there's a Matrix.
Well, let's tell people, if they haven't seen the movie, what Matrix is. Matrix.
Well, a Matrix is a large computer overlay that runs the human race, and the human race isn't aware of it.
So we live in this life not knowing it's created by a computer, and the real world is something far uglier.
It's a world that the computers run. But let me tell you, let me pose a question to you and your listeners. If it's possible for one to occur in the future, the computers controlling people in the future, it's not a big thing to take some steps today to keep that from happening.
Well, you say, for example, no non-essential... Are you saying that non-essential computer use can lead to some kind of a computer control in the future?
I believe that, Mr. Henry, the first thing you have to do to keep any possibility of any Matrix situation developing is to cut out non-essential computer use.
And well, how do you judge that?
Well, I mean, first of all, kids using computers has become ridiculous, even though they have their parents convinced they need it for homework. I mean, you talk about non-essential computer use, probably 98% of it is being done by the teen. And the teen, if any teens are listening, you know what I'm talking about, because the team has seen The Matrix, and they know what I'm talking about. The biggest amount of non-essential computer use is used by teens, and you're the group that has seen that. If you think it's impossible, if you think it's an impossibility, why do you watch The Matrix? Because there is a chance it could be. So the teen in the games and the chat rooms and the IMing and the so-called surfing, it's unnecessary and can only lead to a time if a Matrix took over, that would be on account of what?
Who else? I mean, you're talking about non-essential.
Well, Mr. Trinidad, first of all, the only people who should have computers are businesses, universities, people conducting legitimate business, transacting significant amount of money, and not a lot of these people who say they're keeping household accounts.
Are you saying that there's a lot of home computer use and there's a lot of fooling around on the computer?
Absolutely. And if you think about it, your credit card number, your home phone number, your home address, your personal information that your listeners willingly throw into cyberspace, and then if there's a Matrix future, they wonder how it happened. I'll tell you how it happened. You allowed yourself to be programmed by these idiotic chat room, online casino, eBay shopping, every time you log on to the Internet collecting information about everyone, so people laugh at you. I'm just saying, to be safe, I think we need to begin to discourage at-home computer use among our young people, because remember, young people are the ones who would potentially feed the Matrix, because...
All right, look, you're going way too fast for me, man. You're talking about the Matrix, which is a computer controlling human beings. You think it's a remote possibility, but the possibility exists because we use computers too much?
Absolutely, and I just think it's important, Mr. Henry, to begin to control the sale of personal computers.
All right, we're talking with Jeff Downer. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Use them less?
Use them less.
How?
Well, I mean, education is important. Start in the schools. Discourage home use of computers. Discourage the kids. Tell the kids that if they enjoyed The Matrix, then they're not going to enjoy it if it happened in the real life. I think at the retail level, the best thing we can do is make it legally mandatory for any purchaser of a computer to simply answer a series of questions. Why are you purchasing it? You can walk up with a computer and say, I want to buy the computer. If I'm a retail clerk, I'll say why, and if the answers don't fit in, then you don't get to buy the computer. Another way that we can control computer use is at the airports. Everybody has to put their computer through an energy machine.
Well, it's not an energy machine.
It's a metal detector, but it kind of reminds me of those energy machines on the Hulk, or like in those science fictions. You can take the computer there.
All right, well, you're talking about confiscating personal property, all on the hunch of the remote possibility that a Matrix future could await us, all right?
Well, look, I understand, Mr. Henry, I think it may be a little naive of you, in light of recent events, you don't think it's possible.
I think that it's pretty crazy to say that a Matrix future awaits the human race.
Well, I'm not saying it will, but did you think 9/11 was possible?
Wait a minute. The Matrix is a movie about a computer.
I understand it's a movie, but it's about computers controlling humans. Did you think 9/11 was possible?
Look.
Okay, so that answers my question.
Well, no, it doesn't.
That answers my question. See, you got fooled by 9/11, too. And I'm not saying the Matrix can happen, but if it does, I want to say something now that I think may scare your audience, but I want to lay my cards on the table, and this is an idea that I have had registered with the copyright department. This is a registered idea. If you are a Christian, you're aware of a concept known as the Antichrist.
Dr. Dowder, can I interrupt you?
Yes, sir.
You're going all over the place, man. You're starting out with the Matrix, personal computer use, and now we're on to the Antichrist.
No, but it ties in. It ties in.
All right.
Okay, it honestly does, Mr. Henry, because I believe that the personal computer is the Antichrist.
And why?
Because, think about it, it's the one new controlling thing that we have that everybody trusts and everybody loves, and it can turn on you. And I think if you're a Christian, the personal computer is the Antichrist. And I have registered that idea and trademarked it, because that's my idea and I'm going to base a book on it.
And you say that why?
Well, yeah, I do want to base a book on it, and I don't want anybody taking the idea and stealing it.
All right, you're giving me a lot here, man. The personal computer is the Antichrist. You believe that it is the biblical Antichrist that will gain the trust of millions of people only to turn on them.
Yes, sir. The Internet, more specifically.
The Internet. And that the use of personal computers, the abundant use of them, will lead us to a Matrix future where computers can take over.
Absolutely. And I know I can hear in the sound of your voice, you don't think it sounds possible, but again, if you consider that 9/11 happened and nobody thought it would, and I think Bill Gates, Mel Karmazan, and Michael Eisner, and everybody else that invented the computer can all go to hell and become Satan's yard bitch for what they've done to the human race. And I, honest to God, the other thing, Mr. Henry, think about Loch Ness Monster. If we had spent hundreds of years mocking and making fun of the Loch Ness Monster, and perhaps rightfully so, but what if that 3% possibility come to pass, and the Loch Ness Monster is in fact real and escapes? What if it escapes and attacks and eats a tourist, especially foreign tourists? And I can well imagine the Canadian government pretty much letting a green load go if one of their citizens was eaten up by the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay, slow down, Jeff, because again, you got the Loch Ness Monster going, you've got the Matrix going. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but again, people need to understand. If they don't understand anything else I've been saying, understand this. The personal computer and the Internet are the Antichrist. And if you don't think the Matrix future can happen, think about how your use of the computer online constantly sucks information out of you.
And so it is a real possibility that the computers could take us over.
Absolutely. I don't say never say no to nothing. We have to become concerned about it, sir. And if you slough this off as bunk, sir, well, get ready for another surprise from behind. And let me tell you what, only time I've been crept up on was when I spent two nights at California Youth Authority and I was sleeping on my stomach. And
all right, I don't need to hear all of this, man. Just give me the information, and we'll lay it on our audience, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. This guy's kind of all over the board, but he's talking about personal computers need to be confiscated, and personal computers need to be regulated. The sale of personal computers, because the Matrix future is possible if people don't stop overusing the personal computer. He's also gone so far as to say that the personal computer is the Antichrist. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff, just summarize for me what you're saying.
I'm simply saying that if there is any kind of a Matrix-style control of the human race in the future, it'll be because the over-reliance of computers by humans has been done. And the worst offenders are these, you know, people, housewife, chat room. I'm going to go online and go to eBay, and, you know, it's messed up. And it's a real possibility that your child's computer usage could cause the world to just, it'll be messed up.
All right, man. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff Dotter, a professor of mechanical physics at California Institute of Technology. Personal computer use is the Antichrist that the Bible warned about. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies.
Professor Jeff Dotter, professor of mechanical physics, on the line with us from Pasadena, California, about, and I hear a golf ball in the, Professor Dotter, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just out here, I'm hitting a bucket of balls, because I'm in between classes right now.
Okay, where are you?
I'm over at Royal Grande 3-par, hitting a bucket of balls, and just sort of enjoying, it's a very beautiful day today.
All right, we're talking about it as something that, you know, the movie Matrix and Matrix Reloaded, the two movies talk about a computer-controlled future. You say you don't see that as a possibility, but it is a remote one. It's a remote possibility, not a probability, right?
That's fairly accurate. I think it depends upon how we use computers. And I think as we use computers, Mr. Hendry, and as we bring them into our personal lives, we need to understand that more control, I think, needs to be exerted. When you buy a computer at the store, when a person buys a computer at the store, just think about it. No one asks them, why are you buying that computer? There's never any question about why they're buying the computer. I think that can change. I think we can begin to be more proactive at the retail level and say to somebody who comes up, why are you buying that?
I think that people may resent the question.
Well, they may resent the question, but, you know, there's an old saying, no pain, no gain. And in other words, I'm supposed to care? I mean, what I care about more than anything is that I ensure the future generations are free of any Matrix-style, what can happen. I think at the retail level, I think when you're walking through an airport, or if you're going by a pool at a hotel, or you're walking through a coffee shop, and you see someone using a personal computer, I think it behooves all of us to walk up to that person and ask, what are you doing? What are you writing? What are you online? I was at Newark Airport not too long ago where they have computer terminals, and people are on them, and I have asked people, excuse me, what website are you on? And I take notes on it, and yeah, they get a little offended, but it doesn't matter to me. If you send more than 3 emails a day, you are giving this you know, you're giving out more of a risk of a Matrix style future.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Talking here with Dr. Jeff Dotter of Caltech, a professor of mechanical physics. So we walk up to people in airports and we ask them about their computer. We have retail people asking why we're buying computers.
Well, I believe it's the responsibility of an American person to question people as to what they're doing with a laptop. If they refuse to tell you, it certainly can, you know, get the battery away from their computer, ask them for the battery.
It's very unlikely if I ask a guy, what are you doing to your computer, and I don't like his answer, that he's going to give me his computer battery.
I think what you need to do is simply inform them that you want the computer battery. But what we have to do is we have to start asking each other these questions. We have to start communicating with each other. Why are you using that computer? What are you using it for? I mean, and people are going to give you the standard answer, excuse me, but, you know, it's my freedom of choice. Well, yeah. It's your freedom of choice, But is it your freedom of choice to make us of the to be in a matrix or anything that like that? No, that's not your right. It's not people's free right to make me be suspended in fluid or whatever they'll do to me 300 years in the future. So I do have the right to ask people the question, what are you doing with your computer? And if we have that kind of communication, I'll give an example. I will knock on my neighbor's door, live next door to me, Bill and Candy Allison are friends of mine, and I know that she's going to be on the computer in the kitchen. And I'll come over and ostensibly ask her if I can borrow, you know, the garden hose or something. And I know she's on the computer, and so while she's getting the hose, I'll look at her computer. I will, you know, take notes on what she's doing.
Well, that's an invasion of privacy, though.
Again, you have to understand, if you want to be hanging upside down with a tube coming out of your bottom area and fluid in the Matrix future, that's your business.
By the time the Matrix takes over, I ain't going to be around.
Well, that's a typical...
Well, I'm not saying that I don't care about future generations.
But that's a typical answer that people get when they don't care about future generations.
It's just that I have a hard time interfering in the private and personal communications of people on computers because I'm afraid that they're going to compel me into the Matrix.
Mr. Henry, we have gun control. Do you think it's time maybe we can think about computer control? And don't you think it's also time that we begin to actively consider sending viruses so that we can disable some of these?
That's against the law.
I understand that, but I don't know what else to do. I mean, I'm asking people, and I don't care. I saw a guy sitting next to me the other day, and he whipped his computer out on the airline. I was taking Southwest Airlines out of Oakland on down to Burbank. Guy whipped out his computer, and he's doing all kinds of stuff. I said, what are you doing? And he said, well, it's really not any of your... I mean, he told me it was something about some business that he had. I think he was in structural engineering. And I said, well, what are you doing? And he said, you know, it's like none of your business. I said, yeah, it is. And you know that my questioning bugged him so much that he just closed his computer up. That's what people will do. The law won't mean much, Mr. Henry, if we get trapped in a matrix thing.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jeff Dotter, professor of mechanical physics at Caltech, who believes that it's time we start asking each other what we're doing on our computers. Start hanging over people's shoulders. Start leaning on them and asking what we're doing. Start looking at people's computer screens, because too much of this free use of personal computers could lead us to that Matrix-style future we've been hearing so much about in the movies. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Won't float without pontoons. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I got David G. Hall on the line. David, are you there?
Yeah, Phil, I'm right here. I'm at California Adventure, and I'm on California Screamin', which is a great roller coaster. I would think, hold on for a minute. We're coming right up to the top of the... let me move.
So what?
I was listening to you driving over here. Phil, you're never going to get people to give up their computers. Yeah, hold on.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. It's a roller coaster. No, I'm not okay. I'm not having fun at all. You'll never get people to give up their computers. Are you kidding?
I thought the guy was interesting.
Whatever. So anyway.
All All right, look, thank you for your advice.
What?
Thanks for your advice!
Okay. Oh, God help me!
All right, I got, Jesus. He's right, though. You'll never get people to give up those computers. Hey, look at it. Look at it this way. Before, you had a lot of guys just sitting alone in their apartment loading guns and spinning the chamber and looking at pictures of Kate Smith. Or they were doing the old, chicken go around the mountain. They were doing the old, choking the poultry. And now they have computers. So all those cats that were sitting by themselves with a ski cap pulled down over their head and cutting the eyes out of pictures of the president and sort of, you know, just a lone, empty box of Colonel Sanders sitting on the floor, now they have a life. So no, you won't get people to give up those computers. Not by a long shot. All right, yesterday on the show, we were very pleased to have Paul Tubby Lane, who likes to market sports, and he's trying to convince NASCAR of a new marketing approach, and that is to expand their appeal to the gay demographic, because gay NASCAR fans are more prevalent than ever before.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Paul, I just got a question for you. I mean, just like one of the callers earlier said, your basic redneck and hillbilly has been a NASCAR fan for a good number of years. They've been there for a hell of a lot longer than the gay population have.
People have.
Especially since they haven't come out of the closet until recently. Don't you think that you are risking chasing away the millions upon millions of rednecks and hillbillies that do support NASCAR in whatever way that they do? Okay?
We don't
just
care.
Just for a handful of gays.
I don't care. I'm saying we don't care about a bunch of dumbasses. We want some money.
Well, who are the dumbasses?
All those dumbasses that are waving their Confederate flags. We'll be bringing in millions and millions from rich gays. And what am I getting, like $50 from some dumbass in a truck? Come on,
okay,
man.
What's $50 times a million? What's $50 times a million?
Okay, what's $100 times a million? Can you add that up? Good.
You won't get a million gay fans out there compared to the million.
Well, how much do you spend on
it? Oh, I go out there and I spend an average of $200-$300 every time I go out.
And you're gay?
No, I am not gay. I want
wait a minute, you started the whole club.
With
you,
children.
$300 and...
Absolutely.
So you are gay.
I buy t-shirts, I buy the mugs,
If you spend $300 at a race, you got to be gay. Because I've never heard of a hillbilly.
You're crazy with that.
No.
You are absolutely
how do you figure?
By saying that.
Look, Bert and his horse
race. We have no idea what you're talking about.
I know exactly what I'm talking about.
An affluent, intelligent individual can go to a NASCAR race and spend $300.
No, I'm saying, you sound intelligent, but the average dumbass don't spend that kind of money.
And the average dumbass spends about $10 or $15 or $20.
Right, you can't get tap water with that
money. $10 is what?
You give me six hill trash, or I'm sorry.
Why don't we just call them six regular?
All right, six regular people and their kids, they can't come close to bringing in the kind of money that two gay boys can bring in on any given race. Two of them. Because they buy the leather gear.
There's another thing that you're wrong in. That's another thing that you're wrong
in. No, you don't know what you're talking about, sir. I've studied the whole matter from upside down.
I even went out.
I had sex with a man just to make sure I knew what I was talking about.
You know what?
Okay.
Only a handful of those gay people have the kind of money you're talking about.
Well, I went out and I had
a much larger money-making demographic by bringing in the gay population
and
targeting them.
Yeah, I want to get Bo Cephas and his toothless wife in the back of a truck waving a Confederate flag, because that's really the high-dollar demographic. Buddy, what are you smoking? And give me a puff on it before you throw it away.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I like when Steve said, I had active sex in a bathhouse with two men, and it just sailed right over that cat's head. Because that's the kind of highbrow, top-dollar comedy you get on this show. Gay jokes. All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show. And what, David? Okay. We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. Our website, philhenryshow.com. And for the summer months coming up, you're going to want to get the Western Estates Country Club polo shirt designed by Bobby Dooley herself, president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. This beautiful polo shirt with a one-button placket is available on our website, as well as our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. And we've got a new one coming out to celebrate Ted's new restaurant in Honolulu. It'll be the Ted's of Beverly Hills Honolulu bowling shirt. Dude, do you know how much I'm waiting for that one? And also, of course, all of our citizens' auxiliary police gear, from our pocket jackets to our travel mug to our baseball caps, the Phil Henry Show T-shirt, and don't forget those Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses. Beautiful set of four shot glasses. Beautiful stuff from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Go to our website at philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Governor Schwarzenegger by October. That's what people in the state of California are discussing. There was also an editorial by Pat Buchanan on something called townhall.com. And, you know, when Pat lays pen to paper, well, I just got to sit down and I got to take notice, because he gets it. See, Pat Buchanan, he gets about how America is a nice, white, conservative male place. And when you look at his kisser, doesn't he look like a happy guy? He looks like somebody took a crowbar to his face. Anyway, Pat's got this thing about governor-to-be Schwarzenegger. Now, let me say this, and how do I hit this delicately? I don't want a governor of any state, least of all the one I live in, talking like a kraut. I mean, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. It's given me the creeps thinking about, yeah, well, the state of California will... You see? See, there's a law, and you say to me, what a racist, ethnocentric bastard you are, Henry. Wait a second, hold on, hold your horses. There's a law, it's in the Constitution of the United States, that says the President of the United States, to be elected President of the United States, he must be born in the United States. Now, I know what you're saying, the same does not hold true with senators, governors, etc. I think it should hold true for governors. I don't know about senators and congressmen. Well, actually, probably ought to hold true for senators and congressmen, because one of them cats could actually become president. But, so if it's okay for the Constitution, how come I live in a state and my governor's got to talk like Heinrich Himmler? Why, I don't understand, how come I got to live with that, but the people that dig the president, they don't have to? Just because Californians have this season have come down with a raging case of dumb. And I don't know what happened, but California, for those of you outside the state, thank your lucky stars, because this state over the last year has been infected and has a serious dumb fever. And if you don't know the dumb fever, first of all, you contract it by having your thumb up your ass for too long and then sucking it. And you get dumb, and it lasts for a couple of years, but the main symptom is you want to recall governors that you just elected. See, dumb people want to recall people. The only reason to recall, you know what a recall is? Do people understand what that is? That is it's a protected right that we have, so that we can, if we got a guy in office who is guilty of such malfeasance, of such ineptitude, of such utter and complete disregard for the will and the wishes and the well-being of the people of his state, you recall him. Yes, I know what a lot of geniuses are saying right now. Well, that's Gray Davis. Well, no, it ain't. That ain't Gray Davis. Gray Davis got into office, first of all, hot on the heels of the energy boondoggle that was created in part by the lack of vision of Governor Wilson, who admitted as much. So don't give me this baloney about the energy problem being the Democrats' problem and all of this. Start getting smart, will you, for crying out loud, and quit playing politics. So you're not going to recall Davis. He ain't going anywhere. He's going to stay in office. Then you can elect the Krautenheimer. But until then, Davis is the... Am I wrong? But it bothers me. I live in America. I'm an American. I don't want to have a governor who's going...
Well, the schnitzel group is good this time of year, yeah.
What if he gets up there in leather pants? I don't know. Look, Arnold, we're glad you're here. You're a free American citizen, and you are an American citizen. But make no mistake. And you can serve your country in many ways. You're just not going to be governor standing up there at a press conference going, I don't know about UCSB, but I think. You know what you can do? You can work on making Oktoberfest the national holiday in America. What about that? Huh? Because if you walk up to me and say, want a sausage, I don't care how big you are. I don't care how big you are, dude. Things will happen, and they won't all be pleasant for you. You want a sausage? Where'd you ever get the... And where'd you ever get the moxie, Buchanan, to raise your ugly face again? I thought we got rid of you back in 92. Boy, it was a great time for those Republicans back then. It was that contract for America. They really... You know what they did back then, don't you? They felt it was okay to start showing their true colors. So they were talking about the essentially white nature of America, the European-driven... culture of America. You see, it doesn't even begin to dawn on these people, as intelligent as they think they are, that the country, as far back as its very founding, was, running the blood of all kinds of ethnicities down the gutters of the streets of the world. Not just here. Whether it was your Chinaman driving a spike out there on a railroad, your brother out there picking cotton, my Latino brothers and sisters, they running the tortilla stand down here in L.A., my Kraut Hungarian Polak friends becoming farmers out there in Texas. Hey, all you guys like that Tex-Mex music? You ever heard Tex-Mex? You know, with the accordion? You want to know why they play an accordion? Because of the Hungarians and the Polish that came into Texas in the 19th century, brought their accordion along, and it combined with the ranchero music of the Mexicans and that hillbilly crap that the Texas white boys were listening to, and now you got all of that, that stuff. It got the polka influence. It did. And all them krauts that were up in Wyoming with their sheep. This is the United States of America, and there's all kinds of people that contributed not only to her success, but also to her failings. And so, Pat, go suck on another lemon. Arnold Schwarzenegger for president. Would you guys get serious for crying out loud? Don't you understand where we are right now? We're on the dawn of the 21st century. Ronald Reagan and George Murphy and all these cats tap dancing down there. Ronnie was a great president. I know I'll never be able to talk you out of that one. He was fantastic. And God bless him. I know he's not feeling well. And I know that the man has given a great deal to his country. And I honor him for that. All right. Yes, he was a movie star. He was a guy that created vision while others implemented program, etc., etc. But what I get tired of are guys and women in Washington, D.C. who are continually critiqued for being dishonest. You know, this is going to be a tough one for people to accept, but people that serve as congresspeople and as senators, they're doing it. What are you doing? Everybody can sit back and say, I got a job, I'm paying my taxes, and these guys in Washington, all they're doing is ripping me off. And you got a better idea, why don't you run for governor? Unless, of course, you got a German accent, then all bets are off. And I got money that says Arnold ain't got a better idea.
I want to thank the people of California for electing me governor. Now, sausage for everyone. Come, let us dance.
I mean, let me ask you a question. You want a governor of California who's like this?
Yeah, well, this is great. It really is. And thank you very much.
You wouldn't like the guy, would you?
Like Milli Vanilli?
We come to America basically to take a lot of the American chicks to bed. We're going to cut the album in New York, and then Hans and I will go to first is the Target Center in Minneapolis. Then we're going to where?
Cow Palace.
To the Cow Palace in San Francisco. And down to Jack Murphy Stadium, San Diego. And, you know, we lip sync and wear the bicycle shorts mostly, just to walk down the street. And because even I'm not sure if I'm straight or gay. See, that's the whole thing about my life. But thank you, anime, for electing me as, you know, governor, but I can't, you know, I don't have the time. Thank you, Millie. Or are you Vanilli? Remember those guys? Those cats talk like that, and yet, baby, don't forget my number. Any jackass could understand that. Next thing you want Siegfried running for governor? Why not? Why not? Go ahead, tell me, why not? Oh, I get it, because Arnold was the Terminator. That's why he's got the balls out look, huh? Oh, get out of here, will you? Somebody get serious in this state before I scream.
And now, Maria, my beautiful wife, will show the people of California the sausage. And,
All right, enough of the sausage gags, Arnold, okay?
I'm sorry, I started loosening everybody up.
No, you're really boring.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. California, the next Minnesota. They got Jesse the Body. What a joke and a half that guy was. What a disgrace. Now we're going to stick Arnold up there? Look, Arnold, go make Terminator 4, will you? In the name of everything holy. Try doing Twins again. Something. Just go back to being a movie star and knock it off. We got big trouble here. Otherwise, I'm going to run for governor. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
So anyway, Carrie Kasem, if you're listening, and Carrie is a stunningly beautiful daughter of Casey Kasem, and she's in Maxim magazine as one of their Maxim girls online. She is a really, really a knockout. Not only that, she's a nice lady, and her brother Mike came in, and they're fans of the show, but she wouldn't allow us to take a picture of her with me unless she had her makeup on, and she wanted to take like a half hour to do that. And I said, are you kidding me? I got to go on the air. And so she had to split, and then they called and said, well, let's do the picture now because I have my makeup. And I said, ah, forget it. You're pissing me off. So what we're going to do, Carrie, is we're taking, of course, I'm joking. Well, anyway, we're going to take your picture off of Maxim. We're going to put it in my scrapbook, even though it's a copyrighted photograph, and it'll have your name saying that you're a big fan, and let Maxim sue me. Let them send me a, what do they call it, a C&D? Oh, jeez. Yeah, see, don't use our copyrighted picture. I could have one of you in the studio, but then you had to put on 50 pounds of makeup that day that would have taken 6 hours. What the, they Planet of the Apes, okay? It was just a picture of you with me. What, do you want me to put on fake lips and stuff with the hair and...
8 hours in makeup.
She's gorgeous. And her brother, Mike, great guy, spitting image of his old man, too. Spitting image of a terrific guy, both nice kids. So anybody know the name Shoshana Johnson? Shoshana Johnson, excuse me. You know the name? You don't? Oh, really? Well, she got shot, too, in Iraq. How come nobody's posted a military police guard out her hotel room or whatever the hell it is, the hospital bed? See, this Jessica Lynch thing, and what's going on now is I'm being rewarded for my support of this Iraqi war. I'm being rewarded with a kick to the groin and a slap to the face. Basically, you just go ahead and sit there and suck on it, Hendry, and we'll pitch all this bullcrap, and you just back us up. I ain't backing up anything. I backed up the war in Iraq because I felt and still do that it was a necessary war. Now you guys are concocting these stories about Jessica Lynch. Shoshana Johnson was a Army specialist who was also taken prisoner by the Iraqis. Of course, we don't even know if Jessica Lynch was taken prisoner by the Iraqis, but we damn sure know that Shoshana was. She was shot, and she's got the bullet holes in her feet to prove it. She was getting cooking training. She was working for the 507th Maintenance Company at Fort Bliss. She wanted to be a chef, an Army chef.
and she was supporting the guys coming up in a truck with other members of the 507th Maintenance Company. And the Iraqi troops ambushed her company, and she became one of 12 from her group to be captured, killed, or determined missing. And you saw pictures of her during the war. And I remember getting into an argument with a lady who called. She was an African-American listener of mine. Very nice lady, and she said, so why aren't you talking about the sister? I said, well, what's to talk about? She got captured along with a white girl. You know, well, I'd like to know more about her. And I said, well, and at the time I was right. What are you talking about? It's just, it's another soldier that's gotten captured. But now as this thing is coming down, yeah, what did happen to this Shoshana Johnson? Why aren't they talking about her? You want to know why? Because she didn't have the big bullcrap story concocted around her. She wasn't taking a machine gun and cutting them down like Arnold. She just was a poor grunt, poor dog face, who got captured and thrown into the Bastille with these other guys and got videotaped. What is it with these cats over there that want to videotape everybody? And like we're going to believe it? What, would you guys learn a lesson? We see an American captured on videotape, we ain't believing a word. I always love the way they videotape those guys. See, they're saying that we're criminals. Oh, all right. How come she's not on TV? How come nobody's got the big story going on about her? I'll tell you why, because she ain't the all-American hillbilly chick. She's black. Same reason why a little black kid that goes missing don't get half the juice that some little rich white girl that goes missing gets. Black, 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 black. And if you don't think it's about race, then you don't know your country. I love this country. I live here. I support it. And I work hard every day to ensure that people are pissed off at each other so that I can have a big salary. But I give a look. I was saying to a guy the other day, this is really funny. We were talking about really crappy television shows, and I happened to be at NBC at the time, so it was fortuitous. And anyway, I'm sorry. That was unnecessary. We're talking about lousy television. And I said, you know, the thing that offends me more than anything else is when they put the black couple and the white couple together as if they're best friends, and they just don't see, in other words, they don't see any race, right? In other words, what that means is the black couple are white people with black skin. That's what it is. Look it, we're going to have a very integrated cast, and everybody's going to love each other. You two darkies, you black people, just act white, and we'll all get along. Okay. Like that one show, you know, they wanted me to see that Hidden Hills. They had the black couple with the white and everybody like his friends. That doesn't happen in real life. There are real issues having to do with race and culture that white and black people have to overcome to become, or deal with, or make fun of, or get into a fight over, whatever, to become friends. You know, when I was going out with Yvonne, my girlfriend before Maria, my fine, beautiful Nubian girlfriend, even she and I got to it about race. She used to talk about all the crackers out watching the Rose Parade, and then she'd ask, why? How come white folks have to start all their parties so early? Because black folks start their parties at 10 o'clock at night. And I said to her, that's because white folks have jobs to get up to in the morning. And, you know, that kind of stuff. And then she'd, you know, throw something at me, and then we'd make passionate love. Seriously. Because we were waiting for one night, we were going to go to a party, and this was up in Minneapolis. I was commuting between Miami and Minneapolis. And on the weekends, I'd fly to Minneapolis. So we're going to a party. It was a Christmas party. And she was taking a nap. She was really tired, and I didn't want to wake her up. So she slept through the party, you know, by 11 o'clock at night. And I was in the living room anyway, popping back rum, hot buttered rums, as I recall, because it was the Christmas season. It was very festive as I sat there alone in my underwear. And then she gets up. She goes, so what? I said, well, we missed the party. And she says, well, how come white folks got to start their party so early? I said, what are you talking about? She goes, black folks don't start a party till 11 o'clock at night, and then we light it like it's a steakhouse. You go to a black guy's party, and it's lit like you're walking into the middle of Manicelli's Steak Lounge. You know, it's real dark, as if it ain't dark enough. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. That was racist and uncalled for. No, you know what I'm saying. And I said, well, whatever. You know, I don't know what to tell you. So she started getting up into my face. You know, how come you people this, you people that? And that's when I came out with it. That's because we got jobs to get up to in the morning. She actually laughed at it because she knew she'd leaned right into it, you know. So I said, well, you guys have all these dark parties where the lighting's really low? She goes, yeah. So what do? Just smile a lot so you can find your way to the kitchen? And that's when she pulled the knife. No, but you know what I'm talking about. In other words, there's people... Quit pandering to some notion that race relation is as easy as just a big fat smile and pretending like you're not nervous. Because you know that you are, and let's just cut through the horse crap. America today has made great strides, blah, blah, blah. I understand it and I believe it. There's no doubt that this country's a better place to live in than it was certainly 100 years ago and even 40 years ago. Standard of living, all that stuff, better. Got a long way to go. Yes, we do. Still a lot of poor people. Yes, there are. Still a lot of racism. Oh, hell yeah. But, the, you know, and that's my point. We still have this... We still have the modern mainstream perception that people, or the mainstream of people, are comfortable with. And since most people are white in the United States, most people are, I guess in the minds of those who pervade the media images, most people are going to understand a white person. Jessica Lynch didn't do half as much as the Shoshana Johnson. At least Shoshana Johnson got off a couple of shots. But this Jessica Lynch didn't do anything. And they got her guarded by the military police. CBS is throwing a book deal at her. NBC wants to shine her shoes. ABC wants to wipe her rear end. CNN, TNN, BNN, NNN, all of them want to do something with her, anything, even if it's just to sit and bask in her glow. And she hasn't done anything other than to sit there and be white. And meanwhile, the Shoshana Johnson took a freaking bullet. What hospital's she in? What floor is she on? Maybe they got her in the basement. What do you think? Call the Department of Defense. Inquiring minds want to know. Does she have a private room? Does she have a guard outside her door 24/7? Is there a guy standing there with the big white helmet? And by the way, how come all the African Americans... Now, you want to start a riot about something? This is worth it. Those cats up in Michigan are rioting. Why? Because some schmuck was running from the cops at 185 million miles an hour, and he wiped himself out, and now the black folks up there are getting pissed because there's police brutality? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. People say that they haven't experienced any police brutality in the 25, 30 years that they've lived. The fact is the people are poor in that town. That's why they're pissed. Don't be blaming the cops. And if some schmuck is going 180 miles an hour on a motorcycle and rides it right through a sheep barn, guess what? Maybe, just maybe, that ain't the cop's fault. But if you want to get upset about something, here it is. Just another example of what is increasingly sort of reemerging in this country, and that is a kind of a racist, a comfortable racist attitude. Because, you see, black folks have been imagining racism. Didn't you know that? Oh, you didn't hear about that. Yeah, if you're to believe the revisionist thinking of the last 20 years, black people mostly imagine racism. It's just all in their minds. See, they got it good, and most white folks are not racist, so what's the problem with blacks? They're nuts. They're seeing things. They're psycho. See? And why did the OJ thing have to come down on racial lines? I don't know. How come most white people thought he was guilty and most black people thought he was innocent? Black folks didn't invent that. The reason why black people thought O.J. was innocent was because it's entirely believable and entirely within their experience that the police screw with evidence. It is completely, entirely plausible, and it has happened so often, why wouldn't they mistrust the cops? They phony up evidence, plant evidence, kangaroo court these people left and right. Why wouldn't they think that the cat was innocent? White folks, why'd they think he was guilty? Well, it's obvious he's guilty because the courts treat you fairly. And the evidence points to, etc., and therefore, see, there was a book written years ago called Two Americas. That's what we live in. We live in two Americas, two distinct Americas. Years ago, Plessy versus Ferguson was a court. Anybody heard of that one? That was a court case in 1898. Do you know what it was? It was a Supreme Court ruling that established separate but equal. Because a black passenger on a train sued, saying that his compartment was not as, that being segregated from the white passengers was a violation of the Constitution. He lost the case. They said, you can be separate, you must be equal. Well, we found out in 1954 with Brown versus the Board of Education and a lot of other crap that you guys don't know anything about, that separate ain't equal because one in this country was getting more than the other. Black schools were garbage pits compared to the white schools. Well, we still live in a separate but equal society. Still live in a separate but equal society. Only, is it equal? You know. Basically, there are black neighborhoods and white neighborhoods. Very little mixing. Very little. You go into some restaurants in some parts of town, you see a lot of black and white patrons. Yeah, but in terms of where people live, ain't happening, man. It ain't happening. Socially, black folks and white folks do not, by and large, socialize together. I don't give a crap if you got a bunch of black friends. I'm talking about the fact of the matter is blacks and whites don't socialize. Now, all of this is fine. You don't have to. But it does create a complete and utter misunderstanding and lack of knowledge about people. I don't give a crap who you think you are or how smart you think you are. If you don't know people, you don't know people. So, you know, have a good time there, Jessica, while this sister here got the two bullet holes in her feet. Remember she was hobbling to the tank? Hey, how about giving her a crutch or something? And she is in some hospital someplace, but who knows where and how. I guess maybe she ain't got the tight, close, cool family that Jessica Lynch has got. Somebody better start answering some questions, I'll tell you that much, or I'm gonna go back on medication. I'm gonna start drinking again. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
By the way, speaking of that Jessica Lynch story and the whole embedded journalism controversy, the United States Defense Department spokeswoman Victoria Clark, familiar to global TV viewers for her Iraq War briefings, you remember her? She was a short, blonde-haired lady, has resigned. Clark is leaving the position of Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs for, quote, personal reasons, end quote, the department said. Now, she held the job for 2 years, arriving the summer before the September 11th terrorist attacks on the Pentagon and the World Trade Center. She said, I depart sadly because this has been the best professional experience of my life. It's been a true honor working for the men and women of the U.S. military. But she's resigned for personal reasons, and I'm not about to speculate, but do you suppose that it had something to do with that whole embedded journalism debacle? Because, I'll just say it, and if you guys think that this is the truth, then that's your problem. I'm just telling you that I heard from another source that the embedded journalist idea was very much supported by her, if not her brainchild. And since it's blown up in everybody's face, she's on her way out. You think that's a load? What do you think? I think that maybe it's a possibility because that embedded journalism thing was a joke. The only thing those cats knew how to do was put these poor GIs in touch with their family. You know, a guy who's out there in the field, one of those dog faces, could get on the phone and say hi to mom on the video phone. Hi, this is Bill Jones. We're here embedded with the 82nd Airborne, and I've got, what do you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to say yo to the homeboys in Boyle Heights and everybody. Monterey Park, you know, Sleepy and Pookie out in Echo Park. Want to say, you know, I love you madly. I love you forever.
Okay, thanks, and back to you. Good job, man. What, how many millions of dollars to stick you out there, and you're, what are you? You're like the strippogram? That's all that turned into. That was just the good. I'm glad the guys had the opportunity. Sure, I'm glad I'm not paying for that. You know who was paying for it, though? All those sponsors, all that big-time money, all the tire companies, the beer companies, the Lady Schick, Lady Remington, whatever the hell, they're paying for it through the nose. So she's gone, but not forgotten. And I wonder if it's because that whole embedded thing got embedded. Here is Greg. Hello, Greg.
Hello, how you doing? First of all, I want to. It's a pleasure visiting with you this evening. I just want to make one point about African-American people. I think as far as racism, I think, you know, I know they've had a terrible past. It's been a horrible past in slavery, and you look at that. But on the same point, I think they're using that racist card as a crutch.
Who is?
I think black people in general are.
Everybody?
Not everybody. I can give you specific examples.
Well, I can give you some specific examples of whites using it as a crutch.
Absolutely.
All right, so what are we talking about then?
We're talking about people in general, and in my own circle of friends. I can give you an example.
You mean your white friends?
No, black friends who wouldn't accept me because I was white. Just because they're folks that white people are horrible. You know, they treat us like we're the colored folks, so to say. And it's a tragedy what happened, but you know, the race card is worn out. Like you said, I think a lot of white folks are.
See you later. Like I said, guys, you know, there's nothing new. White people will never get it. They'll never, ever, ever, ever get it. They'll just never get it. And yeah, there's a lot of dumbasses on the black side of the card, too. Don't worry about that. There's tons and tons of them. Tons and tons and tons of fairly talented but ultimately kind of stupid black folks. By the way, Spike Lee will be joining us later. I'm kidding. Although he's
not the brightest guy.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. I'm sorry, Spike, but you're a moron. You make some pretty decent movies, but you're about as dumb as they get, man, when it comes to observing the social scene. Just, you know, make that really... I love that clocking, and I like Do the Right Thing. Do that again. Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
More than a dozen girls started fist fighting after an early dismissal on the last day of classes Monday at Peabody High School in Pittsburgh. And somebody videotaped it. So we got another videotape of teenage girls going all out fisticuffs. Do you understand the sexual nature of this, don't you? Okay, good. I just want to make sure. You don't really honestly believe that this has anything to do with people being concerned about, you know, young people being violent. This is sexual in nature. The interest that people have in this is a perverse. It's perverse. And that guy, like that guy on Fox, that O'Reilly guy, that pervert, all he ever does, you talk about a leering pervert. You better watch it, Bill. Somebody's going to close a bedroom window on your nose one of these days. Just like that guy in Chinatown. Just wait, they're waiting for the shirts to rip and the skirts to come up over their heads, and it becomes a perverted teen porn. Why else? You're not going to get this kind of play with guys fighting each other. The girls fight each other. There's something that is faintly sexual about it. And these cats on television and talk radio, you know, getting into it like it's a sad commentary on youth. What a pack of pervs. Like my friend Hannity, man. Yeah, I remember when he used to call and kiss my ass when I was on in Atlanta telling me how great I am. I don't know what happened to him, but boy, is his show a piece of crap. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is there not one original thought anywhere in America? Is it all the same thing? The same traditional family value hot air that these cats from one show to the next? Is there nothing that anybody has to say that is the least bit different from anybody else? Is it just a vast wasteland? Are we just wandering in the streets? Are we just standing like men without water? Like men without pants? Girls Wild School Brawl caught on tape. So, and if you want to buy it, I have extra copies, $9.95 at philhenryshow.com. Yes, that address again. PhilHenryShow.com. We're collecting them. We have the Glenbrook High tape where the girls, you know, it's like, it's mud wrestling, man. That's what it is. It's mud wrestling. Girls caught on film, rubbing feces on each other, licking it off. Teen girls, young and ripe. Do you have to get hired at Fox? No, seriously, honestly, do you have to have a record as a court record as a pervert? Do you seriously? So to get on as an anchor at the Fox Television Network, you have to have an active police record as a window-peeking perv. That's what you're telling me. Well, that, my friends, is a shock and a half. I thought those cats had it on the up and oh, my God, there's that Ann Coulter. Whoever told her she was smart? I guess a lot of people, because she is. You know, Ann, it's a little bit tougher world than you figured it is. All right, now here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I was talking about Waxell and the easy prison time that he's going to do. We have a list here of minimum security prisons. Why are they minimum security prisons? Because the people that go, the inmates that are in these prisons are nonviolent offenders. They are not the kinds of people that you have to put a million guns on. And they happen to be white, and they happen to be rich. Now, I've looked into this very carefully, asking myself, is this racist, or is this just the nature of the offender? And I can tell you honestly, it's really the nature of the offender, with a few exceptions, because a wealthy black man is still viewed as a potentially violent person because he's, you know, a jungle animal, as opposed to a white man who's what? A druid? You're misguided. As disgraced former Tyco chief executive L. Dennis Kozlowski faces new charges of fraud and theft, prison time seems nearly certain. What are the top grade-A prisons that a lot of the white boys go to? A lot of your basic white-collar cats. Well, the one that everybody calls Club Fed is Eglin. Eglin is the original Club Fed, nicknamed as such back in the 1980s, when prisoners were allowed to wear their own clothes and even go home to have dinner with their families. Those fast and loose days are long gone, but the nickname has stuck. Inmates maintain the golf course at nearby Eglin Air Force Base, but make no mistake, they never get the chance to hit a few themselves. Disgraced shoe designer Steve Madden is scheduled to do his 41-month sentence there. It's located in Fort Walton Beach. It opened in 1962, and it has a population of 792. They have open dormitories that hold 50 men who sleep in two-man cubicles. They have softball, basketball, soccer, flag football, universal weight machines, free weights, vocational training offered in diesel and small engine mechanics, dental assistant apprenticeships. Eglin has a active music department that sponsors a number of inmates' bands and also has a stash of instruments that prisoners can check out. Also of note is the camp's strong religious studies program that even goes so far as to offer Native American practitioners a small hide tent that can be used as a sweat lodge. Also, homosexual sex is encouraged in 10 of the 50. I'm joking. Then there's federal prison camp Nellis. Nellis is one camp that is often requested by white boys because it's the only minimum security facility on the West Coast that's freestanding. Now, what that means is it isn't located alongside a higher security prison. Camps that coexist with hardcore cell blocks feel more like real prisons since camp inmates often have to work inside of them, surrounded by the razor wire and the watchtowers. It's in North Las Vegas. It has 588 men, four to a cubicle in open dorms. They've got basketball, soccer, flag football, universal weight machines, pool, ping pong tables. Dormitories are air conditioned, which is unusual for a system that's generally bereft of any creature comforts. And the Nellis gym is better equipped than those at other camps. Most prisons just let inmates pump iron, but Nellis actually has cardio equipment, albeit very old, including stationary bikes and stair climbers. So in other words, there is a way to break the law in the United States and do some fairly easy time. And that's the Martha Stewart way. By the way, where's she going? Has she posted bail? Is she inside? Is what she doing? When's she going up in front of a judge? When, how, when? Has she done anything wrong? I don't know. I wrote her a letter, by the way. I wrote her an email, and I said, Dear Miss Stewart, and this is the God is my witness, this is exactly what I wrote there. I said, Dear Miss Stewart, I really admire you. You seem to be a woman of substance and of great talent, and I appreciate this opportunity to write to you. I think, if you don't mind me expressing an opinion, it would be a wonderful gesture if you printed negative emails on your website as well as positive emails. That way, it would show you to be a woman not only of great talent, but of great honor. Sincerely, Phil Henry, Phil Henry Show, right? I thought it was as polite as I could be. And I get back this searing email that says, You piece of garbage, don't you ever, ever peek in my window again. No, it said, Dear Mr. Henry, thank you for your email, blah, 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 form letter, form letter, form letter. Didn't even mention what I was talking about. I said, put up some negative emails. You're not getting nothing but all good emails on MarthaTalks.com. I want to see some stuff that says, Dear Martha, you know, you did wrong. You're going to have to, you know, you're going into Oz, whether you like it or not. There's going to be a bald guy saying, all right, Whitey first, then we'll let the dark guys come in. You're going to be in jail one of these days, my fine feathered friend. And I'm just trying to get you an opportunity. You want to turn the American public, put some of those negative emails up. Now, when's she getting indicted? I think tomorrow. She was indicted. She's being arraigned tomorrow. And then it will be interesting to see if they post bail, if they set bail. She didn't have to even pay bail. So she ain't going to have that mad dog, what's-his-ass coming after her. What's that cat's name? Dog, Dwayne Dog Chow. Oh, Chapman. The cat's name is Dog Chow? Dwayne Dog Chapman is going to be coming after Martha Stewart, and he's going to take her down in a Puerto Vallarta slum. All right, let's go, baby. Put him up. And get him down. So she is, you know, she's going away. And they've bent over backwards for this woman. They didn't have the press take her picture when she went inside. They wouldn't let the press take her picture when she was coming out. They haven't released any mugshot. You know she got printed and mugged. You know that. It's got to happen. They didn't demand bail. They released her on her own recognizance. They have treated her like better than any human being I've ever heard of who's been arrested. Other than, you know, a lot of the white kids I grew up with when they were driving their daddy's Mercedes-Benz into the plate glass windows of restaurants. But other than that, and she has been treated with the utmost of respect because the cops don't want to be seen as being somehow hurtful or harsh or discriminatory against poor Martha. So I want to get some information on her, too. And before this week is out, before I go on vacation with my kids, I want to know about Jessica Lynch, Martha Stewart, and that Shoshana Johnson. What's up with them? And I want to know what's the story with Ann Coulter? Who? What is she doing there? And what's with Sean Hannity? And what's going on around here anyway? Or have we lost our minds? And Arnold Schwarzenegger, you got to be putting me on. Somebody better explain all of it before I leave town, man. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, time for kind of around the horn entertainment news. Russell Crowe is still acting like the dumbass that he is. He got into a rugby match inside of a hotel, right inside a hotel dining room. All right, way to go, Russell. It's great to have money. It's great to be young and a movie star. He smashed the joint to bits. Of course, he came back and paid for it and tipped the staff $3,200. So that's great. Russell Crowe still just sort of like a good actor, and why else do we care? Oh, I know, he's a hunk, I forgot. He's a hunky-looking guy, and it's kind of fun to see him jack around people like Meg Ryan, I guess. Kind of like it's fun to see him take chicks like that for a big, big fat ride. Poor Meg. What do I mean, poor Meg? She dumped Dennis Quaid like he was a bad habit. Poor Dennis. Dennis Quaid's doing okay now. I see him in a lot of magazine things, and he's doing some movies. Meanwhile, Meg, last thing she did was that Courage Under Fire. Hey, baby, now we know what a load that is, huh? Because that Jessica Lynch story is making all of it look like a big smeller. You know? I understand. Yes, there have been many great and brave women in our armed forces. It's just, for every Jessica Lynch story, it just kind of, just something sours. So, yeah, she dumped all over him like he was a fire hydrant, and Russell Crowe turned around and did the same thing to her. Anyway, Crowe is a jackass, so that's the news. Now, Jagger versus Justin Timberlake. Mick Jagger says Justin Timberlake is copping some of his moves. Well, hey, I got a little kind of a tip for you, Mick. You copped a lot of James Brown's moves, so what are you talking about, white boy, you thick-lipped limey? What's he talking about? copped your moves. Mick Jagger says that Justin Timberlake, he says, I've watched Justin, but every single move he does is stolen. What did you do, man, when you first hit the scene? You're dancing like Joe Tex. Who's that cat? Jackie Wilson, Sam freaking Cooke, James Brown, and every other brother that could dance. And you get out there with the thick lips and the limey accent, and you're stealing all the girls. Rock and roll is about copping stuff and making it your own. Hey, guess what? You know the three-chord power progression? You guys didn't invent that. And you know fortune teller and the GCF progression? You cats didn't invent that. Brace yourself. Here comes another round of reality shows. Meet My Folks, a dreadful, horrible, embarrassingly bad ripoff of the Robert De Niro Ben Stiller movie, is making yet another bid for viewership on, you got it, NBC. Anything for Love, another one of those relationships. It's about the NBC network brass and what they would do if... Oh, I'm kidding. Anything... Look, you know, the only reason why I do it is it's fun. It's just fun. What's wrong with taking some heavyweights to task? They're having a ball over there. They're loving life. Everything's good. They got coupling. It's going to be a real sexy thing. It's got to get them out of the pits. You watch. You just watch. This coupling's going to do it. They're going to have people on talking about sex. They won't use, you know, obvious terms, but they'll, you know, like the finger in the... They'll do the, that kind of a thing. They'll do sign language. And it'll be sexy as hell, and that'll replace Friends, and everybody'll get a new contract over there. You watch, you just wait, you'll see. And then Jeff Zucker can go back to New York and kind of polish up the apron, and just kind of practice up that "Can I take your order, sir?" line. And you know, well, of course I'm kidding. He's a smart cat, man. That guy, he ain't going no place. They're gonna make him the president of the whole company. You think I'm kidding? That Robert Wright guy, Zucker's already sharpening up the shank he's going to stick in that guy's back. All right, anyway. And then there's Fox's Paradise Hotel, in which a bunch of people shack up together at a posh resort. Sounds like another Big Brother, except when someone gets voted out, someone new takes their place. And that could make it the never-ending Big Brother a thought too frightening to contemplate. However, Fox is upping the Big Brother concept. At the end of every episode, they urinate on each other. All right. Now, amid the question, the predictable, there is a couple of reality shows making their debuts this week that we can honestly say are pretty good. Boarding House North Shore is a reality show, but it's also kind of a fairly well-made documentary that peeks into the world of competitive surfing. And then there's I'm with Busey. Gary Busey's life is a... Here's the thing they're going to find out. Anybody's life is interesting. Everybody in anybody's life is interesting. You put a camera on me and follow me around for 24 hours, I guarantee you ain't going to believe what you see. Even when you're seeing it. In the words of my main man, Clint Eastwood. You want to do a reality show? Do one about me. I got four stepkids that I became the stepfather of when I was 44. I do a radio show where I do fake voices and I goof people into believing they're real people. I scream and yell and want to kill somebody before I go on the air here every day. I then leave and go home and deal with the four stepkids and all of their weirdness and everything that comes along with being a stepdad. Believe you me, it's a lot. I got two cats that hate each other, one that craps all over the house. I got an addiction to meth in 2003. I got a wife who wants to run for public office. I got a nose full of cocaine and a heart full of... I'm kidding. Life with Busey, starring Phil Hendry. Tourists slowly coming back to D.C., the nation's capital. There's a welcome sight. Tourists are again crowding into Metrorail cars and spilling into museums. Signs the city's top private industry is recovering from the slide that followed the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks. Yes, the attacks in the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, have cost Washington millions of dollars in tourist revenue. Anthrax, sniper shootings, the Iraq War, an unusually snowy winter, color-coded terrorism alerts, and a weak economy, that ain't helped either. I'll tell you what, Washington, you got to be thankful for the people that are coming in, because as soon as I read that laundry list, I thought to myself, why am I going on vacation? And other news that we'll get into tomorrow. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.